There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. I'm Pete Allison and this is my friend Dave Cribb.
Hello. That was nice. I enjoyed it.
I called you my friend there. I thought that would be welcoming.
Pete, just before we started, said he felt, I'd say, what, self-conscious about introducing the podcast? Because I intro-shamed you last week and said that you say the same thing every week, which you do. And that's fine. But, you know, there's not very many ways to say hello, hello between two people that just talk every week on a podcast, is there? So
no, I just added in that you're my friend because, you know, that makes us seem, you know, genuine. Closer, I think.
Yeah, the voice you can hear, by the way. By the well?
By the well? I meant to wait for my intro, Shane.
Yeah, you always wait for your intro.
I have to wait. Shit, sorry.
You've done stuff before, haven't you?
Shush, I'll be quiet.
I mean, so this is the presenter and DJ, Arielle Free. You can tell she's a presenter because she won't wait to be introduced. She just starts talking before anybody's even said that she's here.
Oh, my school report says she talks too much and here I am making a career out of it. Woohoo!
Is that what it said?
Really, every single school report. Arielle's very studious, but she talks too much in class. Arielle could be better if she stopped talking too much in class.
No, that is fair, to be fair. I mean,
here I am now.
It's the perfect
teachers.
Career for you. And you don't have to be studious anymore, so.
Don't have to be studious. Don't even need to be intelligent, to be honest. Just need to have verbal diarrhea, which is essentially what I have every day, 24/7.
I wonder if me and you, Pete, just stopped talking, what would happen? I think you'd just still going.
I would still start going. I'm like, let's talk about Phoebe's uterus.
Do you feel like you've proven your teachers wrong because you've made a career out of the thing that they identified as your issue?
100%, and I make every interview opportunity, I make sure that I mention that, and I mention like just so kids know who like they're constantly berated for like just having a skill of talking. It's a skill, guys. It's a skill that you can make money from after a certain amount of years.
After a lot of years of working for no money, you can then make some money.
They will still won't get you a mortgage.
Have you seen any of your teachers? Have you ever been back to your school?
No, so I was meant to go back on a school visit to my primary school, but they couldn't fit me in my actual primary school, so they sent me to the one next door, which is our rival school.
What?
Doesn't make any sense. But funnily enough, I got contacted by my high school. He went, "Hey, Arielle, we forgot all about you."
Are you the most famous person from your high school?
I went to dance school, so it depends, because if you like idolise ballerinas, then no.
Okay. As me and Pete do.
Obviously.
You saying about having to go back to school, I went back to my school to present people with their GCSE certificates. But when I was in year 11, I was given my GCSE certificates by now England manager Gareth Southgate. And I feel like progressively over the years, they really downgraded quite a bit to get to me. Like that's real difference.
Friends fan?
Massive Friends fan.
Yeah.
Do you know what's great about this podcast? It's because Friends is always something that's been in my life, right? And then you get like stuck into a box set and then you forget about it and it goes away. And then we talked about doing this podcast and I was like, oh, I'm going to go back and watch. And I just got immersed and it was like, I was having a really moody Sunday, shall we call it.
Yeah.
And it just instantly perked me up and I had the nicest night's sleep because I'd had like three episodes back to back of just sheer joy. And it's interesting because you see in the news the other day, they said that the most watched box set by any 18 to 25 year old is still Friends. Even though most of them weren't born when it started.
I know, it's so weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just like, it doesn't age, does it?
No, and it's constantly on television anyway. So it's still on like Comedy Central and Channel 5 now. So like, you can't get away from it. But yeah, it's still the most popular thing.
Yeah.
And therefore, I mean, you know, I don't want to say we're cynical, Pete, but We basically chose the broadest possible subject for this podcast.
Yeah, real to appeal to the
widest possible demographic.
It's interesting, though, how young people are watching. My sister is only 23 and she is obsessed with it. It's like her go-to show that she'll just put on a TV when she's home.
She's 23? Yeah, see, that's so
young. She's not watching YouTube or anything.
So it's not been on TV now for what, 14 years? Mm. So she was like,
because for me, it was a Friday night thing. Yeah. You came home from school, it was on Friday night, wasn't it? On Channel 4.
Channel 4, yeah.
And you were waiting for the new episodes each week. You know, like, remember those times when you actually watched weekly TV, like at home, like on a schedule?
Right.
So it's kind of really, it really sticks out as a time of my life. In high school, funnily enough, high school and primary school, it was just always there.
Yeah. And it was, I didn't have Sky when I was a kid,
no,
right?
No, I didn't.
And it used to be on Sky on Thursday night.
Ah.
So like some kids are coming to school on a Friday. It was a real social divider, yeah.
We didn't have Sky in Glasgow.
I was going to say, you didn't know that. Nobody in your school had Sky.
If they did, they had those, like, one of those illegal, like, satellite dishes and they'd stuck on the wall themselves and they'd, like, try to get it.
But yeah, it was on a Thursday night and then everyone would come in and talk about it and I'd be like, no, blah, 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 blah.
Who was your favourite character?
We've discussed this before. Chandler is probably my overall favourite, but he does get a bit bums towards the end.
Mm.
Like, the more sort of settled and happy he gets, the less funny he is.
Yes, very true.
Yours is Ross, right?
Yeah, but kind of like late Ross, not early Ross. I like Ross when he becomes a bit more sort of hysterical from series 4, 5 onwards.
When he becomes manic.
Yeah, pretty much.
Manic and therefore more funny. Who's yours?
Well, I used to obviously always love Jennifer, aka Rachel, because everyone just wanted to look...
first name terms.
Jennifer, obviously. Because every girl of my age just wanted to look like Rachel, right? And you wanted to get the Rachel haircut and all that stuff. But then people used to say to me that I was like Monica, and it used to really piss me off, because I'd be like, oh, I don't want to look like Monica, I don't want to be like Monica, but I am quite erratic in that sense sometimes. I'm not a clean freak, although I do like cleaning stuff. but... it used to really annoy me because I always wanted to be like the sexy Rachel of the group, but I definitely wasn't. I toy between Ross and I do like later Rachel.
Later Rachel?
Yeah.
Okay.
My favourite thing that came out of Friends is Rachel and Joey.
Your favourite?
Yeah.
Oh my
I was rooting
God.
For that. I was rooting for that.
You're throwing all sorts of controversial opinions out.
Well, because I just never really enjoyed the Har and Ross thing. Like, I just felt like it just, like, got strung out and it was always back and forth and, oh, here we are again. But when, like, Rachel and Joey hooked, I was like, no way! This is never happening!
It's one of those things, isn't it, where it was a bit of a shame, and but they just had to end it with Ross and Rachel getting together, right? Spoiler, if you haven't watched the end.
Oops.
Sorry, guys.
Oopsie.
If you're watching this episode by episode for the first time along with this podcast, A, it's going to make absolutely shit all sense because we are watching them in a completely random order. But I guess they had to sort of do it because it had been 10 years.
But
it felt like a bit of
I felt like the finale was a massive letdown.
Yeah.
It all, the last, in the end, it's all just very neat and tidy and, oh, look how lovely and happy they're all going to be. And there's a slight lack of, it's just all a bit too neat, isn't it?
It is very neat. But I do remember watching it at the time. Like live. But like, people did just want that, didn't they? They just wanted it to be end well. Yeah. You couldn't end on a mad clip. Like, one of them couldn't just die.
I mean, why not? That would have been amazing.
That would have been great.
I actually, does anyone else come on this podcast and say that they really liked the Joey spin-off? Because I loved the Joey spin-off.
I had the Joey spin-off on
DVD.
I loved
the Joey spin-off.
We've talked about it. Actually, in the last 3 episodes we've recorded, we've talked about Joey now, haven't we, Pete?
I just love it.
What did we conclude about Joey? That it did one and a bit series and then it got cancelled at the, like, midway through a second series. Is that what happened?
I think so, yeah. I think it got canned. I can't remember if it was after the first series or if they started a second series. But yeah, I remember it sort of, I can't remember any of the characters' names.
I remember his landlady was like the mental old lady who basically was essentially just like his agent, wasn't it?
Just like Estelle again. Yeah. And then there was like the young hot girl.
Yeah.
And then like...
but the balcony, so that setting...
The terrace outside the flat.
Yeah. Was used in something else. So I think it's like not 2.5 minutes and it is something else. So when it popped up, I was like, oh, that's the set from Joey's. So they've obviously like spent their money and having to like recycle it for other production.
That's so funny. Oh, I want to know now.
No, I'll need to Google it.
Well, this is what we do on this podcast, Ariel. We don't wait and Google later. We're going to Google now.
I think it's 2.5 Men. Is that the one with Charlie Sheen?
Yeah, I've never watched an episode of 2.5.
No, I haven't either. And I'm proud to say I've never watched an episode of Kardashians. And people actually were like flabbergasted when I said this the other day.
I don't think I ever actually watched Joey. I think, like, I heard such bad things about it that I never really gave it a go.
So it actually went on from 2004 to 2006.
Lol. Joey?
Yeah. Why did it get cancelled? Matt LeBlanc became increasingly frustrated with shooting Joey.
Did he?
As he felt his lovable character was emasculated in the show.
So I mean, you can't...
Actually, it was him that took it off air.
Oh, yeah, he is... I'd say the most crucial bit of it, isn't he, in many ways?
Yeah.
Very hard to
Did
make
Joey
it.
End up Joey, alone?
With Joey. Alex, that was his neighbour. That girl was called Alex. Yeah. Oh, his sister was in it as well. Gina Tribbiani.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't say what the set is.
Oh, was his landlord? Oh, no, it was his agent.
Was it his agent that lived there?
No. So his new agent was Stifler's mum.
Yes.
Do you remember? Yeah.
She pops up everywhere.
She pops up everywhere.
I watched American Pie, The Wedding the other day.
It's a strange one to pick.
No, it was just on TV and I was like, actually, this is quite good. It was like kind of that weird lull between Christmas and New Year's. And I was like, this is quite a good film. So I watched it and it's really funny.
It's really like comforting to watch, isn't it?
Yeah.
Then you're just like,
I actually probably was more satisfied by the finale of American Pie than I was Friends.
Well, there you go. Controversial opinion number two. Right, let's talk about your episode. Which episode did you pick and why?
Well, I didn't actually know that the title of this one was called The One with Phoebe's Uterus, but it makes sense, obviously, when you go back and watch it. But the reason I chose this episode is because as a young girl growing up, a scene that always stuck in my mind from Friends was the scene in which Monica tries to explain to Chandler the 7 points of the body that can turn on a woman.
Yeah.
And I just remember her being like, a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then also like basically when Len Goodman came into our lives and started like shouting 7, it always popped into my head, 7. And then Monica going, 7, 7.
Is that what, watching Strictly reminds you of the scene of basically Courtney Cox getting off in Friends?
It used to just, I couldn't remember for ages why I was already like, 7 is my lucky number. So maybe it's got something to do with that. But yeah, I remember when Len Goodman was like, 7. I was like, isn't that what Monica screams when she's basically having an orgasm? But the best thing about that scene is Rachel's face throughout the whole of it.
Yeah.
Because she starts off kind of like, not so bothered. And then she kind of gets into it. And then she's like basically alongside Monica in their like ascension to like climax or whatever, shall we say. But yet nothing is said.
No.
And it was the perfect way to introduce something like that to myself, an audience, a young audience, without actually shouting, she's having an orgasm! Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, For me, it was totally educational, but also one of those things that stuck in my mind because them two together, you really felt that Monica and Rachel were in it on themselves. And then like, Chandler's face throughout the entire thing is hilarious.
Was it educational in the sense that did you then go away and like...
trying 7 like, points?
No, I'll try that. Imagine that was a question I was going to ask. Can I just say for the record, what I meant was like, did you go and like research...
What
she was talking about.
The frustrating.
It's very vague, isn't it?
It's very vague. Yeah. So this is the thing. And actually, I remember at the time thinking, what areas is she talking about? You never know.
Yeah.
She doesn't say. So I remember there was this thing in my school where everyone talked about like if you tickled the back of someone's knee or like is it the top of someone's knee?
Yeah. You do have it.
And I was like, that's definitely one of the 7.
Right.
Must be. So like it is that thing of like something that constantly like came back, like you do think what are the 7 points
100%.
Even to this day I wonder if we could write to the writers and be like, can you confirm what the 7 points are?
Well yeah, because I remember watching it as a young boy and being like, right, it's the 7.
Yeah.
7?
Yeah.
Like, where are the 7?
But it's funny because like, and there's just that thing of like, they say everything else in him that also she's scrolling on a notepad throughout to be like, this is 1 and this is 2. And then
with
you go
diagram,
1, 2, 3.
Yeah,
but there's no diagram on the notepad. You never see it. So you don't even know what she's pointing to.
No. I think we all know what 7 is.
7 is quite clear, but I'd say the other 6 are quite bewildering, especially to a man of my interest.
Well, yeah. So yeah, this is true. We've got all the perspectives now. So we've got, so when you watched it, Pete, I presume it really held no interest because you were like, I will never need to know this information.
It could be universal, surely.
It just seemed even more bewildering than it was already. But hang on. Are we able to identify what we think those 7 things are? 7 being obvious and therefore being ticked off.
Right, well, this is what I was thinking when I was thinking about this podcast today.
We know that one of them is toes.
No, one of them isn't toes.
Oh, I thought that's what Rachel said.
Rachel adds that in. She adds that in.
Yeah, she adds it in as if to be like, oh
toes! And,
yeah, exactly. So she says toes and then she does that brilliant, like, where she goes, for some people.
Yeah.
But I just
assumed that was still, like, one of the numbers, no?
No, I can only assume that wasn't 1 because she was like, oh, don't forget toes, basically.
Oh, I thought that was her just reminding Monica to include it.
No.
Ah.
Because it was after she's drawn the diagram and they're all looking at the diagram.
Yeah.
So what do we... We're going to go through the 7. Well, we know what 7 is.
Well, we know what 7 is.
That's the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
We'll call it the Holy Grail. I would say 1 and 2 has to be something to do with like finger or neck or something like that. Like if you lick someone's finger, is that weird?
Finger? I don't know. If you lick someone's finger, no, but like lips must be one of them, right? Because that's like your basic.
Yeah, that's true.
So like if you start with, I imagined lips was one and, you know, seven was seven. So then you sort of.
Everywhere in between.
Right.
Then we don't know whether they're counting things as pairs. So it's like.
Hey.
Pairs are interesting.
Is a pair or is ears separate? Like there could be so many more.
There's a list that confirms it.
You found a list on Google?
Yeah.
As in specifically,
what are the 7 points in Friends that Monica teaches us about when in Friends that you hear a woman to make the sweetest moans ever?
You're going to learn so much, Pete.
Number one, I said it, ears.
Number one is ears?
Yeah, touch of ears, okay. Apparently. Number two is lips, which makes sense. Yeah. I would have thought neck would have been before lips, but neck is number three. Number four is the breasticles.
So four is both breasts.
Well, it says breasts, yeah, plurally. Yeah. So I imagine.
Well, that's
yeah.
what I always wondered is if, you know, is four and five.
But wait a minute, because then it says number five is butt. And I don't know if I would agree with that. I think butt would come before breasts. I mean, is this a personal preference?
When you say before, what do you mean? Chronologically or sort of like.
Well, isn't it meant to like be in ascension? Shall we say?
Oh, in ascension of...
Well, it's meant to be the most sensitive parts of a woman's body. I would say my boobs are much more sensitive than my bum.
Yeah, like your bum isn't particularly like sensitive, I don't think. Like if someone, I don't know. I was about to go down a route I didn't need to go down, but let's...
I think I speak for the nation, Pete, when I say we'd like you to go down that route.
I mean, what I was going to say, if someone grabs your ass. Like, that doesn't necessarily feel that good. Like, it's obviously, if invited, like an obvious sexual thing, but it doesn't like feel that good. It's just like grabbing.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Butts are good to look at, aren't they? But they're not particularly sensitive in that same way.
Yeah.
I would agree that I think boobs should be before butts.
Okay, so we've got up to butt.
So we got one left before the Holy Grail. What do you think it is? So far we've had ears, lips, neck, breasts, butt, and there's one more before the
Can I ask one question?
Mm-hmm.
Is it above or below seven? As you look at the human body.
I think that's too much of a giveaway.
Is it? Okay. So below.
Thighs?
Yes. Oh. Correct, Pete.
I know my
inner
women.
Thighs is number six.
Well, I feel ashamed. I've been schooled there, Pete. Well done. Okay, thighs, sure.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense.
But it's funny because it's also the part of like the series where you realise that Monica's definitely been having plastic surgery. Like, she's definitely, there's around that time, which is what I thought was quite early. I thought it was later on in the series that she gets plastic surgery.
Season four, this is, isn't it? Yeah. Mm. So that
when
is
she gets what? Like, Courtney Cox has something done?
Yeah, okay. You can see that her face has changed.
Okay.
In what respect? Because I'll be honest, I literally have never noticed.
It looks like she's had a facelift.
Now you mention it, like she does look almost entirely different at the end of the series to how she does at the start.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that's obviously when it all started. But not that's an issue. She can do what she wants. But it was interesting because I always thought she had it when she had the long, straight, poker hair like Demi Moore. But actually, she's got the shorter hair in this. But I suppose this is the genius of like Friends, isn't it? Is that alongside this like really hilarious, like trying to teach Chandler like the 7 points of the body, you've actually got quite a serious topic in which Phoebe's been asked to basically be a surrogate mother to her brother, which is a weird situation.
The whole episode's quite mad, isn't it? There's like three very different plot lines. This is a really good episode.
I know, you just say that. Yeah, it's great.
And it's a real lottery when people choose their favourite episodes because the thing is, like you said earlier, you went, I didn't know it was called the one with the uterus.
Yeah.
Because people don't always remember the other, there's always like three plot lines.
Yeah.
And people don't always remember the other two. So they go, oh, it's the one with the sex scene.
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, the rest of this is shit.
Well, I forgot that it was the one where Phoebe gets a puppy.
Phoebe gets a puppy. Phoebe agrees to. I mean, there's a lot to talk about, so let's work our way through it, shall we? I'm going to do the thing where I sum up the episode, Pete. I just do this at the start. The start of the podcast.
I mean,
we're
at least
in.
Yeah.
I'll splice this in a bit earlier. So this is the one with Phoebe's uterus. It's season 4, episode 11. Here's what happens if you haven't seen it recently. Monica and Rachel offer Chandler some advice when he wants to improve his performance in the bedroom with Kathy. Ross lands Joey a job as a tour guide at his museum, but Joey is disappointed that Ross won't sit with him in the lunchroom. And Phoebe has a huge decision to make when she learns that her brother Frank and his wife Alice want to carry their baby. Mm. So that's, you know, I mean, this attacks some big subjects. We got surrogacy, we got adoption, we've got segregation in the lunch place. and erogenous zones.
That is amazing as well, that Joey actually manages to get a job in the museum in the first place.
Well, this sort of carries on the trend that we've talked about before on this podcast of Joey is completely not qualified to do anything. Even the acting jobs he gets are, like, it's inexplicable as to why he gets them, because he's a terrible actor.
Yeah.
So he just lands himself in all these sort of strange jobs all the time. Let's start with the sex scene and the Kathy plotline, because there's a few things in this which are strange. So this leads up from the fact that Chandler is scared to have sex with Kathy, right?
Yes, because she's heard Kathy in bed with Joey already.
Which is mad,
already,
right?
Really weird. Yeah, that is horrible.
Imagine you've heard your girlfriend having sex with your best friend multiple times before.
It's really that whole thing, because I have mates who will happily get with mates, like exes or whatnot, and it's not an issue.
Right.
I've always steered clear from that, because I just think you're asking for trouble.
There's also a difference here, because it's not as if she's just somebody that Joey's had a one-night stand with. She is somebody who Joey actually really likes, which is quite rare for him.
Yeah.
So it's even more weird, because he does actually really like her, and then she's with Chandler. So it's not like a one-night thing and then she meets Chandler. It's more than that.
But also, it happens a lot in Friends. They swap partners like there's no tomorrow.
I mean, yeah, it's 10 years of them and there's only about 8 people to have sex with. So, you know, they're bound to work their way through a lot of people. But
does anyone ever sleep with a naked man?
Ugly naked guy? No, yeah. No.
Oh, that's a shame. That's an episode right there, surely.
There we go.
The one where Phoebe gets an ugly naked man.
Imagine the long-awaited Friends reunion that we've all been waiting for 15 years was just that, and the plot line revolved around one of them having sex with an ugly naked guy. But yeah, I just think it's strange that Chandler is now dating this girl, having heard have sex with his best friend like multiple times through a very thin wall in their apartment.
I mean, it is that thing though, like, it's very relatable, because having, like, being a student and whatnot, you do like live in a house share where you clearly hear your mates having sex all the time. Yeah. But yeah, the whole like sharing of, I don't know. I think it's quite a believable line that he like doesn't think he can like pleasure as much as Joey. Cause let's be honest, we all think Joey's going to be badass in bed.
Yeah.
But I do think it's hilarious that it's Monica that teaches him. Because essentially, they then go on to be a couple, don't they? So
yeah, well, because he credits her later for like making him good at sex, basically, in a later episode. So there's like a referral back to that, like much, much later when they are together. But yeah, it is very strange when you fast forward.
Like, did they know at that point that they were going
to
get?
I don't know. It's hard to know, because like when we were watching it as kids, we weren't really thinking like, ooh, no. What do the writers know? What are they plotting it out?
Yeah.
But from what I've sort of like picked up along the way, I feel like they didn't think it was going to run this long. So the Ross and Rachel thing, they were like, well, we've got them together after like 2 seasons. Do you know what I mean? I think they were like, wee, Ross and Rachel. And then they were like, So Ross and Rachel basically had to split up, because it's like, well, this could go on for another 8 years.
One wants to see that, do they?
Right, exactly. So they had to break them up. They had to put in loads of drama. And then I think from about season 4 or 5 onwards, they were just guessing. I mean, they were literally just guessing. What if Ross goes and marries an English girl in London? Sure, why not?
I hated her, by the way.
Oh, yeah, worst character ever. Yeah,
worst character ever. And just like, that was the one part of the series that made me angry. Like, Friends isn't meant to make you angry, but like when she used to turn up and be like, oh, get lost. Blah.
It was real sad, because she was one of the very rare British characters in Friends.
Her accent really jars in it as well, doesn't it? She just doesn't seem like she's even acting particularly well, which I'm sure she is. It's just a weird mix of her in that circle of friends.
That's why she's never worked again.
There's 2 things I want to pick up. One, on this storyline. So this happens, Monica gives him the lecture year, he goes away. Then at the end, right after the credits, Kathy comes in and thanks Monica.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, that's the very last thing after the credits happen. Monica and Rachel are sitting at the kitchen table and Kathy runs in, clearly having just had sex, and goes, thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, that didn't happen. I watched it on Netflix, so I didn't see that part. The last I saw was Phoebe walking out the flat.
That is weird, isn't it?
Maybe do they show the credits bit?
That was another thing that I thought was weird, because imagine that, so they've always had sex once and it was fine, they've always had sex again and it was like mind blowing for Kathy. But if I was Chandler, I wouldn't be like, oh yeah, I just got my mate Monica to tell me how to pleasure you. I just feel that'd be such a weird conversation to have. I just got my female friend to tell
Thank you
what
very
to do.
Much yeah, for yeah. the 7 points and yeah. now you know exactly where I've been touched. I don't find that weird. I find that hilarious.
Yeah, it's funny, but it's just a bit odd.
There are things that your mates like share with you and you're like, what? Really? Oh, that's well fit. Like, girls talk about stuff like that all the time.
No, but I agree. Girls, but it's the other way around. Like, as a boy,
Yeah.
I'd find it, if I like...
You and running and high five.
If I just had really good sex with a new girlfriend, and she was like, man, you're good at that, I'd be like, do you know what? Can't take any credit. I asked my girl mate, and she just told me what to do.
Yeah, but that's like a male pride thing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Whereas girls are like, yes, yeah. I've learned something, and I am badass.
It is a stupid male pride thing.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because the nice thing about this plot line, and one of the reasons why this episode stands out so much, is that initially, well, like, the men in Friends talk about sex a lot, and the nice thing about this episode is this goes from being about Chandler talking about sex and his problems in the bedroom, and then that story is almost like done for Chandler there, and it becomes about the women and their attitude to sex and what they enjoy, and then at the end that whole plot line just becomes about Monica, basically, because this is probably one of Monica's best scenes in all of Friends. So Chandler sort of sets it up with quite a typical cliche man talk about sex thing, and then it goes somewhere completely different, and that's why it stands out. I think
I agree with that. And also I think for me as a young girl watching it, it was the first time I'd really, apart, like, you knew about Sex in the City, but I didn't watch it because it was on like really late and whatnot.
Yeah,
but like, it was one of those things that was like, ooh, women enjoying sex and TV.
Right. Yeah.
Woo!
Well, that was kind of the whole thing. Like, the very first episode of Friends is when Monica's just like had that one night stand with Paul the wine guy.
Yeah.
And like, but that was like quite revolutionary at the time.
Yeah.
To basically just show women acting like
men.
Men, stereotypically, that had been on TV before. And just being like, yeah, we sleep around. That's
but
fine.
But then not being kind of like, not slut shamed. What's the word?
Well, not judging. Yeah, not being judged for it. 100%.
Yeah, exactly.
That was it. They were just acting. They were all acting in the same way, and it didn't really matter what your gender was. You could go out and do what you want, and that was kind of, But that's sort of a move on from this, isn't it, 4 years later. That scene, the famous scene, there is an extended version of it. Are you aware of this?
No!
Yeah, it was on the first DVD release or something, or maybe it's just in outtakes that I've seen it, but at the end of that, where it cuts away after Monica's done 777, in the extended scene, basically Monica and Rachel... They basically all go into a different room to...
Shout seven?
No, not to... Yeah, to shout seven, yeah. So Monica and Rachel both sort of retire to their bedrooms and Chandler goes into the bathroom.
Amazing. Yeah.
There are a couple of things in this episode that I don't remember seeing on the... It's a classic. It wasn't in the E4 edit situation.
Yeah.
But one of them is in this scene, and it's where Chandler says... Rachel compares seven to Disney World or something. Like, I can't remember quite what the context is. But then Chandler makes some comment about, well, if Disney World had a bit more of Seven involved, then...
If it was anything like Seven, exactly.
I don't remember having seen that bit before. See, I'm still learning.
Hello there.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Quickly, we haven't got long. Please listen to the all-new Angelos and Barry podcast.
It's a funny one.
Oh, my God, it's hilarious. There's so much muck in it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, so that's the memorable scene.
Mm-hmm.
That's the memorable plot line.
Mm.
Then we've got two others. We've got Joey at the museum. We've got Phoebe, Frank and Alice. Which one do you want to start with?
Joey at the museum, we have to talk about. It's such a school thing, isn't it? It's like what you see in every teen drama ever. But like, again, totally relatable and hilarious. And like, actually makes Ross look like you, because you, when he first walks in, so let's set the scene. Joey's sitting at a table with the blue coats and the white coats are at the doctors, which is part of like Ross's group.
Scientists,
sorry.
It's not a hospital.
It's not a hospital. And they're wearing white coats, okay? They all wear the same thing. he's convinced that Ross is going to come in and sit at his table with blue coats, and then he doesn't.
Right.
And then he is like mortified. And actually what's really amazing is actually seeing Joey have the moral high ground over like Ross for like one of the only times throughout the whole thing. And then, Ross like finally turns around. And I think it's a really lovely scene because Ross can be a bit of a Wally sometimes, but that is like... That is him being next level, like, douchebag, isn't he?
Yeah, but in fairness to him, he does turn it around. I think he just gets caught in it. We've all been there. You're like, I don't know what to do. Tradition, this is how it's always been.
Yeah, for once, he kind of recognises that he's been a bit of a dick and tries to do something about it, doesn't he?
What I would say is he should have thought this through. He knows they all sit separately and he's got his mate a job there. Like, you would be like, oh my days, lunchtime is going to be awkward.
I would just use the excuse like, oh, you've got egg mayonnaise sandwiches. Oh no, we don't sit next to people with egg mayonnaise sandwiches. Sorry.
Just a smell-based thing.
It's just a smell-based thing. That was me. I loved egg mayonnaise sandwiches at school. I had to sit on the bench in the assembly hall rather than in the canteen.
You had to sit on a bench completely separately?
Yeah, because I brought my own lunch and everyone else like had free school dinners. And I loved egg mayonnaise sandwiches.
And you got separated on that basis?
Yeah, if you had brought your own lunch, you had to sit in the assembly hall and sit on a bench. But if you had hot dinners, you got to sit in the canteen. And I always had egg mayonnaise sandwiches to know I would sit next to me.
Oh mate, you're painting such a sad
no, but I loved
child.
Egg mayonnaise sandwich. I was like, hey, do you know what, if you like my egg mayonnaise sandwich, you sit over there. I am quite happy on my own, thank you very much. And I still to this day absolutely love an egg mayonnaise sandwich.
So good, aren't they?
Oh mate, with a wee bit of cress and loads of salt and pepper.
Joey doing the tour around the museums,
brilliant,
really fun. It's like
brilliant.
It's like one of those episodes where you see him in a terrible play, but this is him in a terrible play actually trying to do a job, and he doesn't know his lines. He can't say any word apart from Jurassic.
No, but it's great because then, like, when Ross gets, he waves to the kids and he gets out a cigarette and like does this magic trick with a cigarette. It's like,
so
what are you
weird,
doing?
Yeah.
So weird.
So the kids are having a tour, and Joey sort of knocks on the. A glass, which, like, it just, everything about that scene was weird. Because it's like, you're just, what is Ross doing? Just playing around with the display.
Also, Joey manages to, like, say words that sound like a dinosaur, but not. So when he's, like, Tyrannosaurus Rex, he's like, Tyrannosaurus Rex. And it's just like, oh, that could actually be a dinosaur.
Just mumbling under your breath.
Yeah.
I don't think have we covered this before, Pete? I'm not sure I know really what Ross's day-to-day job is. He's a paleontologist, right? And he works at a museum, but I wouldn't have thought that involves him just like setting up the displays on his own. He's just in there like moving some dinosaurs around.
Surely him being in like a confined space that's keeping these like bones alive,
I was thinking,
is like, surely detrimental to the bones.
Right.
When he goes to work in the museum, he obviously has like a research job, which involves, for some reason, him being involved with artifacts that are on display in the museum. So when Joey and all those kids see him, he's like in one of the displays, isn't he?
But what's he doing?
What is he working
on? He's not allowed in there.
We'd never see him in any other context apart from in the actual displays.
Maybe like Ross is like some secret smuggler, and what he does is he goes into the displays and just like slowly takes pieces of bone and then sells them in the black market for like loads of money, which is why he's always got a good leather jacket on.
Well, there is that episode later where he's trying to bribe Rachel's boss not to send her to Paris and he gives her like a dinosaur egg.
Ah, yes!
Well, it's a dinosaur egg replica. But he's obviously, he's above the law, is Ross.
He's above the law.
Stealing little replica eggs from
his
museum.
Love the fellow blue coat in that episode as well. The lady.
Oh yeah, Rhonda.
Rhonda is so good.
Amazing. So good.
Rhonda is also in 30 Rock, and she's also in How I Met Your Mother.
I haven't watched either of them.
She's also in Everybody Loves Raymond.
There's also a reference to Donald Trump in this. In this bit of the plot line. So right as Joey gets the job, he walks in with his blue blazer and he goes, guess what I've got a job as? And Chandler goes, I don't know, but Donald Trump wants his blue blazer black.
Oh, blues. That is such a funny line.
Yeah.
That kind of shows how long he's been at like the height of popular culture references, doesn't it?
This episode is great for popular culture references because did we all enjoy Chandler referencing the Sony PlayStation? The first ever PlayStation.
Was that the first one then?
Yeah, it wasn't even like the PS2 or anything, was it?
No.
He goes, there was, it's just like a throwaway comment about, oh, it's the best gift ever. And Chandler goes, better than a Sony PlayStation.
Like, yeah, but I just thought that was standard because everyone had one in their homes with them. But do you realize it was the first ever one? It's that's the first amazing. PlayStation,
mate. Yeah, yeah, that really dates the episode, doesn't it?
Yeah, because it doesn't look that dated now.
No, even but Series 4. If you think back to the like when the actual first PlayStation came out, that is old. That old little grey thing with the little circles on it. That's great.
I mean, people actually still pay money for that stuff.
Oh, mate, people love it. I nearly bought an old Game Boy the other day.
Did you? Yeah. Can you actually get Game Boy games for it at work?
It's very hard, isn't it? There's like sort of Game Boy replicas now where the games are built in.
Which... I did that with Polaroid camera and then realised it was £16 for a pack of 10.
It's astonishing. Oh my God.
It's £16 to get ten films. Yeah.
Oh, it's mad. That scene where Chandler says blue blazer black, though.
Blue blazer black.
That is
so good.
I'm led to believe that that was real.
What?
So the line was just blue blazer back and Matthew Perry messed it up.
Oh, and they just kept it in?
And they kept it in. Cause
I love that.
Everyone just reacted to it so well.
That kind of makes sense because the whole basis of that little part of the scene doesn't really fit with the rest of Friends.
No. So...
And also he doesn't really get out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's no conclusion to
he
that
doesn't
bit.
He just goes, what are you saying? What do you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't say anything. And then that's it. And they just move on. Whereas, like,
you messed up.
Yeah. I love that.
Which I imagine, because when you watch it back with that knowledge, you can also see all the other actors basically doing that to Matthew Perry, because I bet he is basically the same as Chandler, isn't he? So they're like, you messed up your stupid little jokes, Matthew. But yeah, so Joey gets the job, and then there's that amazing scene where they all come together and they all sit at the middle table.
I'm going to sit in the middle table right here.
And they all start doing their little confessions, and then there's an amazing moment where Rhonda's like, I'm Rhonda, and these aren't real.
Yes!
I'd say Rhonda is possibly the best single episode character in all of Friends.
Ooh. I was thinking that. I was wondering if she ever comes back because I can't remember seeing her in another episode. Yeah. And I was like, that is such a shame because she's so strong in that episode.
The museum tour guys don't really play a massive part in
Friends. Why not? Why didn't she turn up in the Bahamas episode?
Here's Rhonda from the museum. Why?
That's because a conference, isn't it? Scientist conference. I mean, she wouldn't be allowed because she's not a scientist. She's just
She's not a doctor.
She's not a doctor.
Let's talk about Phoebe and the surrogate mother thing. Because you're right, you mentioned this earlier. This is like a heavy... Oh, you're right, mate.
I just popped out an earring.
Oh.
It's fine, we'll deal with it later.
I just literally started wandering off.
Sorry.
Just looking on the floor.
I've lost the back of my earring.
That's all right, we'll find it at the end, shall we?
Yeah, we'll find it at the end. Got it.
We got it. Guys, don't panic. We've got the earring.
Oh, no, it's a spring. It's a spring.
And it's
not my earring. I'll find it. Yeah, it's a really serious storyline, but isn't it interesting that that's not what we remember from that episode?
The episode that immediately follows this is called The One with the Embryos, and it's where the embryos get implanted, but it's also the one where they play the big game and switch apartments, and that's all that anyone remembers from that episode. So this whole Phoebe surrogacy thing is like, it's a big, big old storyline, but it sort of gets buried. It's obviously because Lisa Kudrow was pregnant.
Yes.
And they were just like, well, Phoebe isn't going to get pregnant.
Never. But let's keep her in. I don't like her brother.
Oh, I love him.
No.
As a character?
No, I never liked him as a character. I never ticked him. I always thought he tick, 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 tick and never gave back.
I think that the way that Frank and Alice propose this all to Phoebe, it's in a way that it would make her really uncomfortable to say no.
Yeah.
And that's why it's... that's why under it all, like you've said, there's a serious plot, but also the way that she's sort of made to feel like she has to is quite uncomfortable as well.
I mean, he's a simple creature, isn't he, Frank?
Yeah.
Frank Jr.
Yes.
But he, you were right. When they sort of, it's a very cash way of being like, hey, so can we put our baby inside you? Is that cool?
Yeah.
It's like, cool. Everyone cool?
I mean, it's quite funny when he first broaches it because there's a confusion of like, is he going to have sex? Like, she thinks he's going to want to have sex. And
that's
like,
a funny line that Joey says, isn't
it?
Joey's like, you're seriously considering having sex with your sister?
That's another line I hadn't seen before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, I don't remember him seeing that because when he said it, I was like, whoa, an incest joke. Like, I don't remember that being, well, probably not suitable for 5 o'clock on E4, but still.
Yeah, when I was watching this back, my girlfriend Rachel was like, that wasn't in the TV version. So she's obviously got this, like, same as you, Peter, I've watched that on the E4 version rather than the DVDs in the past.
I mean, it's a funny line. It's just not in there.
So she goes to speak to her mum about it. And then, yeah, you're right. So there's this whole plot line now, which is a bit morally dubious, where Phoebe's mum understandably goes...
It's really hard to give
a
baby.
It's really hard to give a baby. This is Phoebe's birth mum. That really funny line where Phoebe, where Monica suggests or Rachel suggests she goes and talks to her mum and Phoebe's like, my mum never gave birth.
Yeah.
But my birth mum did.
Yeah, yeah, it's brilliant.
And then her mum's like, yeah, it's really hard. So I'm going to give you this puppy and you're going to have it for 3 days and I'm going to take it off you. That's going to make you see how hard it is. and she just gives her a puppy.
Yeah.
It's quite irresponsible, isn't it?
A puppy that's really, first of all, taken out a cardboard box and then is like really wriggly. And like, actually you can tell that they're clearly trying to do this quite serious scene and obviously try and keep it lighthearted as much as they can. But this pug is like the wriggliest pug you've ever seen in your life. And like Phoebe's just like, rah! And I think that is another case where they must have just had to go with it, because this pug is not sitting still. It's not going to stop wriggling around.
Yeah.
But then it weirdly gets a bit like, Jesus, just put the dog down. Put the dog down. Like, this is getting quite cruel. It's just like, hold it. And it's like, clearly the dog does not want to be held by its like haunches right now. Do you know what I mean?
But they build that into the scene as well. And yeah. Phoebe's getting distracted by this dog. I mean, yeah, you're right. That must have been a one or two take scene.
Also, I didn't realise pogs were relevant back then. You know, like they became a trend of recent years.
Well, they probably weren't a trend, mate. They were probably just a dog.
Yeah,
true.
Just get a dog. Might be a pug, might not be a pug.
Because that scene ends with a reference to Phoebe being distracted, doesn't it? Because her birth mum says something like, I really should have given you the dog after or something. Really should have had the chat first. Like, that's where the whole scene goes.
I reckon that came from that dog, though. Yeah. I reckon they thought they could probably do that scene without the dog wriggling like ridiculous amounts. But, I mean, it's a cute dog. And then when she gives the dog back... or gives a dog to Frank and Alice, is like, oh, I don't know. I wasn't quite so sure. Like, look how happy they are. Of course I'm going to be your baby mama. And I'm like, really?
And then we find out that it was going to be, that it was Phoebe's mum's puppy.
Yes.
Which, let's be honest, we should have assumed. Otherwise, she's just acquired a puppy from nowhere for this 3-day experiment.
Yes. Yeah, that should be obvious all along, shouldn't it?
It was very strange. Like, where does Phoebe think she's got the puppy from? Just like a puppy library where you can just take a puppy out for 3 days and then pop it back when you're done.
Because for her birth mom to make the point about it being difficult to give something away, it must be clear to Phoebe that that is going to be the end of that whole little experiment, like she's going to have to give the dog back. And then all of a sudden it's a surprise that she's not allowed to do whatever the fuck she likes with the dog.
It is odd. I mean, with hindsight, knowing Phoebe, I wonder if Phoebe's mum should have been like, just so you know, this is my puppy.
you will have to give this back.
Just like, don't take care of it and probs give it back at the end.
Yeah. But also,
it feels unnecessary to say to someone, I'm giving you this puppy for 3 days. Don't give it away to anyone else.
Yeah. But surely the mum in that position could have been like, hey guys, I know that she's just giving you that puppy, but actually it's mine, so geese it back. Thank you very much. Done. Yeah.
Well, we never see the puppy again, so I imagine that's probably what happened.
I don't think
we see the puppy with Frank and Alice again, do we?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. Per pug. So
there you go. Puppy went back home.
Well, you don't know. It's a happy ending. End up in a bloody bin bag.
Ooh.
Down the river.
Dark turn.
You don't know. Friends after dark.
I'm glad we got you on this podcast, mate.
Hey, talking about egg sandwiches and drowning puppies. Woo!
And on that note,
should we do the quiz?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Right, attention to detail quiz, Arielle. Mm-hmm. 5 things you may or may not have spotted along the way.
Oh, I'm rubbish at things like this.
Question 1,
mm-hmm.
opening scene.
Mm-hmm.
When talking about giving them the gift of surrogacy, what gift would Phoebe rather give to Frank and Alice?
Is this...
She references it. She goes, I was thinking maybe like...
Okay. Oh, can you not give me multiple choice?
No.
Oh, I was thinking maybe like a chocolate bar. PlayStation?
No, it's a gravy boat.
Wow. I did not remember that at all from that scene at all. It's also, do Americans know about gravy boats? Isn't gravy like a British thing?
I thought it's quite a British thing. It sounds like a British thing, a gravy boat, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Especially being called a boat.
0 out of 1, but that's fine. You got 4 more.
I'm not very good at this. I think I'm going to get 0, but I'm going to try my hardest.
Question 2. What period is the Tyrannosaurus Rex from, according to Ross? Quite a difficult, this is not a word you would use.
I'm going to say like 1300 AD.
It's a word. It's like a period. So Joey goes, it was the Tyrannosaurus Rex from the Jurassic era. And Ross goes, actually, it's from the...
Oh, I know that scene as well. Because he comes across, it's in the flat, aren't they? They're in the flat. It's just after blue, black blazer, whatever.
I'll be honest. It's a word I had to Google to learn how to spell it.
I mean, come on, guys.
It's hard, but the quiz is hard, Ariel. It's not an easy game. We're not
this
here to make your
to
life
a fun podcast.
We're not here to make your life fun or interesting or easy.
Okay, fine. I'm gonna say the black hole era.
It's a good guess. It's
the Ice Age.
It's the Cretaceous period.
Yeah, because you can't say it, can he? After Cretaceous.
Question 3.
Mm-hmm.
What is museum worker Teddy's greatest fear? So you know when they're all standing up and they're going, "My name's Rhonda, and these aren't real."
Real.
He's like, my name's Teddy, and...
I don't have hair. I don't know. I don't remember things like this. You know, I remember weird things.
Yeah. New York.
New York.
New York really scares me.
I just moved here in New York.
Oh, that's so not memorable.
No, I know. Well,
that's not a memorable line. Why are you quizzing me about something that's so throwaway?
That's why it's called the attention to detail quiz, Ariel. Attention. It tests your attention to detail.
Well, I mean, I thought you were talking about, like, what was Monica wearing in the flat when she was talking about Seven?
What was it?
Blue jumper.
Oh, good.
See, that's the sort of thing that we would ask. It's just you've been unlucky that that's not one of the questions. But this is question four. What was Phoebe's mum doing when Phoebe arrived?
She was in the kitchen. Painting? No.
No. So there's two answers to this. She's doing pottery. Do you remember?
Oh, yes.
But what, do you remember what she's specifically doing?
Oh, she's making vases out of vaginas. Isn't it? Yeah,
really?
Vases that look like private parts.
Yeah, she's glazing her nipples.
Yes.
Is what she says.
I think you can,
that's reasonably well remembered, yeah.
I mean, come on, glazing and pottery of private parts. You've got to give me that.
Glazing her nipples. Yeah, we'll give you that.
Yes.
All right, question five. What is Frank Jr.'s old dog called?
I haven't got a Scooby.
Nothing?
I will guess. Oh, it's something. Oh, I can remember now because I remember thinking that's such a stupid name for a dog. I'm not going to get it, but I know it's stupid. And it's something, not like Shaka Khan. No, what is it? It's something stupid like, oh God, it's going to really annoy me this.
He just references it really briefly in passing.
Yeah, when at the end, he's like, oh my God, I haven't like loved a dog since whatever. And it's like a stupid name.
My old dog, Tumor.
Tumor! That's it. And I was like, what? No, because you know why I remember that? Well, I mean, I didn't remember it. But I remember I was thinking, ooh, like if you made a joke about a tumor in this day and age, that would not go down well.
Right.
Whereas Friends did it then. I was like, and I remember that's why it stuck in my head. I was like, ooh, that's a joke that would not be written into any sort of.
You say it stuck in your head.
I really hope someone in the world has a pug called Shaka Khan.
My friend has a French bulldog called Shaka Khan.
Really? That's amazing.
Well, with the point we gave you for.
Can I? I'm nearly got tumour.
Glazed genitals. No. If I nearly got tumour, you mean you remembered the scene, which is basically the point of the podcast.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Ariel, thanks so much.
No, thank you. And just remember, guys, the 7 points of the female, the erogenous zones. Is that it? Erogenous?
Real good catchphrase you've got there. thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ariel.
Bye. Hello, we're still here.
Right.
Next week, we have the Capital presenter, Will Manning, host of the biggest chart show in the country.
Yeah, of course, host of the official Big Top 40, but also gives away money each weekday on Capital's Cash Call. What's the phrase that pays, Will?
It's Capital. Give me the cash.
There it is. I just
someone
wanted
said
to,
that to my face I just at the weekend. Like I was a human cash machine. Nope. Not how it works.
Sorry, that was purely self-indulgence. I just wanted to hear Will say it.
So hang on, for someone that doesn't listen to Capital, just in case there was one in the room, do you ring them and they have to pick up and say that? Is that the thing?
So do you want me to explain you listen out, we give you a cash track.
Okay.
When you hear that cash track, you text us for your chance to win.
Okay.
And every song up until that cash track is now worth £200.
Great.
So.
And how much was it this morning?
So $7,000 this morning.
That's loads of money.
Lot of money. But don't ask me personally for the money. It's not how it works. No. I have wads of cash just in case I see you at the weekend.
Will's going to be on the podcast next week. And the episode he has chosen is...
The one with the joke.
Which we will talk about extensively next week. Talk about his decision and talk about how we feel about that. But if you'd like to get ahead of the game and watch it in time for next week's podcast, The One with the Joke, Season 6, Episode 12. Are you excited to go away and watch that, Pete?
Yes, I have absolutely no reason to suspect that this episode is terrible.
See you next week.
Great.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that?
Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.